this supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the manner of disagreement. I invite you to join with us. Today, Tuesday, is the 25th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Anfal, verse 61.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإن جنحوا للسلم فجنح لها وتوكل على الله إنه هو السميع العليم.
And if they incline to peace, then incline to it also and rely upon Allah. Indeed, it is He who is the hearing, the knowing.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse discusses about peace with the enemy, and it makes this fact more clear. And since at the time of signing the treaty of peace, men often involved with doubts and hesitations, it commands the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure family, that he does not hesitate in accepting the suggestion of peace when its conditions are logical, wisely and justly. It is ordered to trust in Allah because he both hears their debates and is aware of their intentions. The manner of disagreement is the topic of this episode. A difference of opinion is many times best solved when you agree to disagree. Granted, this is sometimes viewed as a cliché, but in practice is done so for the sake of maintaining good relations. When opposing views, even if well explained, will seem to land of deaf ears. When you know that attempts to persuade will accomplish nothing, and before you enter into conflict, it is time to leave the situation on a note of mutual respect. John, we clearly differ on this issue, and we should stand in mutual respect by letting this go. Every disagreement doesn't have to end with a win, and ending it this way does not indicate that you have accepted another person's or opponent's point of view, nor does it mean you are weak. It's actually a way of saying, live and let live. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with manners of disagreement. Now we find that there's some difference among Muslim scholars. In this connection, it must be indicated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had some opponents, and the opponents of the Islamic religion in general and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in specific can be categorized in this way. In the first place, there were some atheists who denied the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as, for example, idol worshippers, or for example, those people who were polytheists and so on. Those people who disbelieved in the Islamic religion and regarding all the revelation that came down unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, came down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as utterly false and some fabricated pieces of news. The next one were some people of the book, and that is some Jews and Christians. The next type of the opponents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam consisted some people of the book, that is some Jews and Christians, who opposed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. and they didn't want to accept the divine origin of the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this regard, we find that, for example, in the Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 82, it's indicated لَتَجَدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسَ عَذَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. You certainly find that the most obstinate people, the most stubborn people with regard to the Islamic religion and with regard to Muslims are the Jews and those people who are the confederates. The third type of the opponents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam consists of the hypocrites who they were apparently belonging to the Muslim community, to Muslims. However, quite secretly, they had close ties. They had close ties with the opponents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at times they acted like the fifth column in favor of the opponents of the Islamic religion. I mean, they transferred some, they communicated some news from the camp of the Muslim community of Medina to polytheists or to other opponents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied the various modes of reaction regarding them.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every
smart ways to disagree with someone respectfully. One of the ways is remembering to listen. There is a trap that's all too easy to fall into when you find yourself in the middle of a disagreement. Rather than actively listening, you're just sitting there waiting for your chance to respond. Unfortunately, conversations where you're completely turning the other person out are never productive. So remember to actually listen to the point your conversational partner is presenting. You might be surprised. You could end up finding an even better solution that way.
I wonder why you and me fight each other. Don't you see the similarities between us? Take a minute and see yourself in the mirror. You look like me, those eyes, lips you can't deny. Have you thought about why we look the same, why we feel the same? Don't tell me it's by chance. Oh,
agree to disagree. This is IRIB English Radio, and welcome to this episode of today's special with differing as Muslims in an un-Islamic manner. The Quran has declared the followers of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, as Ummatan Wahida, single global community, as Ikhwa, a fraternity, and has distinctly warned against infighting. You can find it in chapter 8 in the Holy Quran, verse 46. It is ironic that the present-day Muslim society often manifests the very antithesis of these descriptions and pays no heed to this warning. The vast majority of our internal battles are a consequence of dogmatism and narrowly defined self-interests. We have made Islam which is a simple and universal foundation of good into a source of major conflicts and infighting over insignificant issues. We have turned minor points of jurisprudence into major ideological conflicts. Sadly, all of this is in the holy name of Islam.
Some people, they become friends, they give each other their secrets, their entire secrets from A to Z. This is not right. This is not right. Today, this person is your friend. Tomorrow, he might turn against you. And he might use your secrets to damage you. وَأَبْغِضْ, on the other hand, Imam Ali says, when you have an enemy, loathe your enemy, dislike him to certain limit, not absolute, not 100%, 80%, 70%. Leave some room, one day this enemy is going to be your friend. This enemy, one day, who knows? God says in this book, عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةً. God says to the Muslims, that maybe one day now those pagans, Quraysh, who are fighting against you, who are your enemies, who knows? Asa, maybe one day there will be affection and love between you and them. You're going to have ceasefire. You're going to speak to each other. You're going to be friends. Asa. So leave some room. When you have an enemy, don't be harsh with that enemy. Do not completely demonize your enemy and say, I'm not going to talk to him for the rest of my life, because he's sheer evil. He's Satan. No, he's not Satan. We are human beings. We are neither pure angels nor pure Satans. We are human beings. We are controlled by our emotions and sentiments. And we have hearts. And this heart, don't we say sometimes, Ya muqallib al-qulub wal-absar? The heart changes. Keeps changing the heart. Even during one day, in the morning, the heart loves someone, he might end up in the evening hating that person. So leave some room. When it comes to love, leave some room. When it comes to hate, also leave some room for a friendship.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً يا ربي شكراً.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
Food for thought.
Listeners, and here is a supplication that the faithful recite on this day, the 25th of Zilqa'dah, after observing a special ritual prayer and thanking God for his favor in creating the earth and the wonders that it contains. O pardoner of slips, pardon my failings. O answerer of supplications, grant my supplication. O hearer of all sounds, hear my cry. Have mercy on me and overlook my misdeeds and faults, O Majestic and Munificent One.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Unfortunately, we as human beings are very impatient. We want things quickly, and we live in a world like that, in a world where technology allows us to see things at the touch of a button, where we can order food, or anything rather, from the comfort of our own homes, and we can get express delivery. This is us, unfortunately. And this is very, you know, evil or bad. It's a vice that has crept into our religious life and into the religious sphere of us Muslims. For one of the things that we feel and we have this habit because everything else is so fast is that when we make dua or when we supplicate, we want the dua to be accepted immediately. And this is, you know, something that is very bad. It is not something that is wanted from us. One of the things that we should realize that dua and supplication and raising our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first of all a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should give thanks for it. And in this tradition that we will narrate from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that continuous insisting on one specific need is something that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Allah loves communication with His servant. Imagine, and so many examples some of us may have, that when a person prays for something, as soon as he gets it, that's it. The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cut. This actually shows that a Allah does not like communication with this person. Na'udhu billah, na'udhu billah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on a servant who seeks one need from him and insists on it in his supplication. That he completely and continuously asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this need. Whether this need is answered or unanswered for him. Especially if it's unanswered. Why at times when we feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer our du'as, we ourselves cut that connection, which is worse. They are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answering my du'as. What am I doing wrong? Yes, there are certain things that block our du'as. For example, we have in du'a kumail that says that, oh Allah, you know, forgive me those sins that, you know, nullify and who block and keep my du'as down. The structure that we pray and all of these things that we do, you know, it all must be seen as a whole when it comes to supplication. But one of the things that is important is insistence and this continuity in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. And at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now in the first part, let's listen to the recitation of Brother Habibullah Pur Ahmadi. He's going to recite verses 40 to 42 of Surah Al-Ahzab.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
محمد أبا أحد
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 40 to 42 of Suratul Ahzab, recited by outstanding Iranian reciter, Brother Habibullah Pur Ahmadi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this reciter, Brother Habibullah Pur Ahmadi, he is a follower of the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. And he said that first he used to emulate the recitations of Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad, just like many other reciters who, you know, they become acquainted with the recitation of the Quran. In fact, they become familiar with Quran recitation through the recitations of Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad.
A lot really of people popular, are like that. Actually.
Yeah. Then he got familiar with Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, and he really liked his style. And therefore, he decided to, in fact, emulate the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail instead. And the thing is that the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail is a lot more complicated than Sheikh Abdul Basit. For Abdul Basit, you need to have a very high-pitched voice, a very, very powerful voice and good voice. But for the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, you don't need a really, really good voice, but you have to, you know, it's more important to pay attention to the style of your recitation or the lahn, the up and downs of the melody and the tone. So both are difficult, okay? For Abdul Basit, it's more like something that you need to be born with.
Yeah.
Okay, but for Mustafa Ismail,
it should be gifted to you, actually.
Yeah, but for Mustafa Ismail, anyone could emulate his style. Of course, it takes a lot of practice. So now let's talk about tajweed in these
good
verses.
Idea.
In verse 40 of this surah, Suratul Ahzab, we have مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. We have a matul munfasil here at the beginning. So, matul munfasil means that there's a long vowel, okay? There's either an alif, ya, or waw, mad.
Yes.
Mamduda, alif mamduda, waw, or ya mamduda. And it's followed by a hamza, which is not in that, in the long vowel, in the word that has the long vowel, okay? Yeah. So, right after the long vowel, there is a hamza and another word.
Yes.
So there is a kind of
separation
and disconnection. So that is why we have Maddul Munfasil.
Disjunct man.
Yes, and the rule for Maddul Munfasil is that you could lengthen it to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. With consistency, of course. Meaning that if you decide to lengthen it to 2 vowel counts, you should lengthen all of the Maddul Munfasils in your recitation to 2 vowel counts. And the same goes for 4 and 5 vowel counts.
And what occurred here?
Mr. Pur Ahmadi, he lengthened the Maddul Munfasils to about 4 vowel counts. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم.
أبا أحد.
So, this was one Maddul Munfasil. We have another one in the word, in the phrase actually, verse 41. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So, يَا and أَيُّهَا, they're two separate words.
Yes.
يَا has a long vowel, alif, in it. And it's followed by أَيُّهَا, which begins with a hamzatul qatta. So, we have to, again, basically apply a rule of Maddul Munfasil.
But this time, actually, there's only one possibility.
Yes, depending on the choice that you made for the first Maddul Munfasil. And we just talked about Hamzatul Qatar. I should say that there are two kinds of Hamza.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we have Hamzatul Qatar and we have Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl is the kind of Hamza that is not part of the word and should not be pronounced in the middle of the utterance.
That's true.
Only at the beginning of the utterance. By beginning of the utterance, we mean that the Hamzatul Wasl is the first letter that is to be pronounced. Yeah. Okay? So.
And the sign is a small slot above it.
Yeah. So in verse 40, we have a Hamzatul Wasl in the word An-Nabiyyin. But when we connect the previous word to An-Nabiyyin, it becomes Khataman Nabiyyin. We don't say Khatama An-Nabiyyin.
Yes.
Khataman Nabiyyin. And in verse 41, we have Ya ayyuha alladhina, again has the Hamzatul Wasl. Udhkurullah, that's another Hamzatul Wasl. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udhkurullah. We don't say Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udhkurullah.
But Hamzatul Qat is pronounced.
Now, on the other hand, Hamzatul Qat is always pronounced. Ya ayyuha alladhina. Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin. See, these are Hamzatul Qat.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we study another aspect of our treatment of the Quran. One particular instruction that we have received in the Quran itself is mentioned in Surah Nahl, verse 98. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فإذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Whenever you recite the Quran, you should seek refuge in God from Satan, who is rejected. So this ayah is the reason why reciters of the Quran always start first with أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Then they say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and start their recitation. But this is not just a kind of etiquette or a kind of protocol. It has very deep meaning and effect.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, What you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام
Brothers and sisters, in the beginning section of this glorious supplication, the supplicant started calling out unto his Lord by saying, O Allah, I ask you by your mercy that envelops everything. He further said, I ask you by your strength, through which everything is humble and before which all things are lowly. The supplicant calls out unto his Lord, calling out by his invincibility, through which everything is overwhelmed. The supplicant mentioned the Almighty Allah's greatness, the Almighty Allah's might, and His power which towers all things. Previously, we also talked about the name Nur, which has been mentioned in the phrase Ya Nuru, Ya Quddus. Now the supplicant starts asking his Lord his first request. Allahumma ghfir li al-dhunub allati tahtiku al-isam. O Allah, forgive me those sins which tear apart safeguards. The deeds, behaviors, manners, and the states that are against Almighty Allah's orders and His prophets and imams' traditions are considered as sins. Some sins are so severe that they are considered as declaration of war with Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sins an individual commits in this world would result in an eternal fire, afflicting the sinner in the hereafter. The Holy Quran in chapter Nisa says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا Those who devour the property of orphans unjustly devour fire in their bellies. So committing sins is in fact getting sustenance from the all-generous and becoming ungrateful to him for his hospitality and generousness. It is quite unfair to benefit from Almighty Allah's blessing for years and then become ungrateful to him. In this regard, I'll tell you a story of what happened to Ya'qub Layth. He was the famous figure of Sistan and the leader of liberalizing revolution against the oppressive Abbasid dynasty. He was the son of a zinc worker. Ya'qub, as a child, was engaged in his father's work for a while, and he spent his wages generously on his friends. He was really brave and generous, and made others to accompany him. Leaving the work of zinc, he began to work on some other form of work with his friends, but soon they quit that job too and decided to steal from the treasury of the ruler of Sistan. Since skillful guards protected the treasury, this was not an easy job. They decided to dig a canal so they could reach from the suburbs onto the floor of the treasury and steal it all swiftly from underground. It took them about 6 months to dig the canal, and finally they entered the treasury at midnight. They secretly assembled all the gold, silver, and the jewelries. They gathered them all in various bags and prepared to go out through the canal when a dazzling jewel somehow attracted the attention of Ya'qub in the darkness. He could not identify it because it was really dark, so he tasted it. And he found out that it was a piece of crystallized salt. Suddenly he ordered his followers to leave the treasure and leave through the canal to the suburbs.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguard. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you, begging submissively, humbly, and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
The surprised youngsters accompanying him returned to the city empty-handed, but demanded to know the reason for this change in the plan. Ya'qub said, "Though we had worked 6 consecutive months to reach the treasury, but when it was the time for collecting the property of the treasury, I saw it unfair to ransack the assets of the ruler after I had tasted the salt belonging to him." Opening the treasury gate, the guards were surprised to see the canal skillfully dug and the assets intact, so they reported the event to the ruler of Sistan. The ruler ordered to announce in the city He would reward the thief if he introduced himself. Ya'qub introduced himself to the ruler peacefully and told him of his unfairness of tasting the salt which belonged to the ruler and betraying him. As a result, the ruler of Sistan was happy to see such a brave and generous youngster and appointed Ya'qub as the army commander of Sistan. And Ya'qub progressed in the same position and managed to fight the corrupted Abbasi government to save the oppressed. He knew that committing sin is tearing apart the safeguards. Allahumma ighfir li adhunub allati tahtikul aysam. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
I invite you to listen to a short part of the book Sirr-us-Salat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini. The sincerity is in fact the purification from the absolute mixing of non-God, and according to the common worship, it is the purification of hidden and revealed dualism such as corruption, hypocrisy, delusion, and pride. Surely the pure religion is for Allah the only. And in the purification of mixing egoism and I-ness, which is in the religion of the knowledgeable ones, the great dualism, the mother of idols is your desire.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and I'm your host Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini mentions that the Dey are representatives, develop traits of palace dwellers, or God forbid, part with their worthy slum-dwelling character, then that is the day when we should ring the death knell for the country. Imam Khomeini says that that is the day when we should ring the death knell for the country, because this country was for the poor, this country was for all, this country was a country in which everyone was given an equal right. Everyone was given their right justly. This country was supposed to bring justice, was supposed to bring freedom, was supposed to bring independence for the people, and was supposed to be released from the Eastern or Western bondage. And the day if a such a person who has the traits of palace dwellers, or he has this kind of practice that he does not care about people, he does not care about the barefooted, he does not care about the hunger of the people.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
He himself eats the food maybe three times or maybe more than that, but there are some people who can only eat one time. If such a person who does not care about such things, such issues, becomes a representative, then that is the day when we should ring the death knell for the country, according to Imam Khomeini. Therefore, it is the duty of whole nation, the Muslim Ummah, of every single Iranian living in the Islamic Republic of Iran, to choose a person as a representative who is submissive to the Islamic laws. Because if he is submissive to Islamic laws, if he is a God-fearing person, if he fears God, he knows that he is accountable on the Day of Judgment. He is answerable of his deeds on the Day of Judgment. And once he knows that, he will take care of his actions. He will justly deal with the people, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.